Good morning. It's not. Good morning. They're not ready either. Let's quiet our hearts as we hear the prelude. Good morning. It's great to see everybody here this morning. Isn't it a beautiful morning this morning? You know, after the rain last night, I just thought it was gorgeous out there this morning. But it's great to see everybody here this morning to worship the Lord. I just have a few announcements. They're in the bulletin, but I just wanted to point out a couple of the announcements. First of all, there is going to be Bible study on tomorrow night, Monday night at 7 o'clock. And next Sunday is Love Feast, October 6th at 6:30. And also, there's a pop pie dinner coming up, and that's on November 2nd. And, that's from 5 to 7, and there are takeouts as well. Marty has a few announcements now.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. And first thing I want to say is this little blurb in the bulletin. I had this in last week. I'm just putting it in again this week. If you weren't here last week, all it is just a little invitation. If you desire a visit, a pastoral visit from me, you can just go ahead and put yes, circle yes, and in the back you can put your name and number if you need a phone number or a time that would be good. And then just go ahead and put it in the offering plate. And that's just for those who weren't here last week and didn't get an opportunity to fill it out. Just go ahead and do that. A couple announcements this morning about our worship service. We are pleased this morning to have our Gideon presenter, Nick Brightbill, and he will be giving a presentation. There's a opportunity for you to give a free will offering. It's in here this morning in your bulletin inserts. So as the Lord leads, it'd be good if you could give an offering this morning towards the Gideons. The other thing we're having at the end of the service is Laura Hamilton is here this morning. You want to just stand, let people know who you are. And she has been working with the church for several months. A lot of hard work here that she's been doing in the area of conflict transformation. And she will give a 5 to 10 minute report following our benediction this morning. So I'll invite her forward for that. The other thing is just remember our revival service is coming up starting next Sunday through Wednesday. And also this Friday and Saturday is district conference. So keep district conference in prayer this week. That's all I have.
Does anybody else have any announcements? Okay, well, how about if we all stand and join in singing Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah. Please remain standing for the responsive call to worship. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The decrees of the Lord are sure, making life so simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honey.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there in great reward. Join me as we read the invocation prayer in unison. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you have made us for yourself, so that our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing your will, no weakness from doing it, but that in your light we may see your light clearly, and in your service find our perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And now we're going to have a hymn sing, and this is going to be led by Barb Wideman and Barb Hefner.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to do something a little different since the congregation is going to be the special music this morning. We're going to start over to my left, and then we'll do the center, and then the right. We're going to sing the hymn that you pick. We're going to sing the first and last verses only, okay? So how about we start over here. It can be in the blue or the brown hymnal.
415 brown.
What's that? Okay, that's a good one. Barb just said victory in Jesus. Okay, everybody, let's hear it. Okay. First and last verses. Okay, ready? That sounded pretty good. Okay, someone in the center? Pardon? 241? Okay, in the brown? Okay, 241. Okay. Oh, this is another good one. First and third verse. One more. What? 281. Okay, 281 in the brown hymnal.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, the risen, redeemed.
much. Very nice hymns.
Next, we'll be having the Gideon presentation and by Nick Brightbill, and it's going to be starting with a video. Is that correct?
Summer says that as she walked across the walkway on Millersville University's campus as she was approaching us. She tried to dismiss a comment that we said, and we said, "You know your name's in there." And she kept walking and stopped and leaned in and said, "Are you serious?" We opened the back of the New Testament and read John 3:16 to her, and that whosoever, and Summer, that's you. You're a whosoever. And a conversation began about her life, and she was asked, "What assurance do you have that you have a place in heaven?" And she mentioned a lot of really good things. But it came to that moment, standing by that park bench, for her to renounce her sins and call on the name of Jesus. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Summer became a new life in Christ that day. If more people hadn't been walking by, she would have been in a pool of her own tears as we witness outwardly her realization of what has just occurred. The youth receive from fifth grade to college about 70% of the distribution of the Gideons, about 68 million copies of the Word of God in 200 countries, provinces, and territories around the world. The hotel Bibles that are placed, which is what most people know the Gideons for, in that video you saw just a minute ago, is actually only 8% of the distribution points of the ministry. Good morning. Gideons are members of local churches just like yours, whose sole purpose is to win men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ through the distribution of God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Gideons are organized in, like I said, 200 countries and provinces and territories around the world. Our wives, the auxiliary, serve with us, and they come side by side with us, helping to lead the efforts of prayer that bathes and goes before anything and everything that happens in this ministry. We cannot go unless God moves. Prayer is vital to the ministry of the Word of God and distributing to it around the world. Would you join me in praying that God would continue to open doors and soften hearts for the receiving of His Word in our risen Savior? We hand out Bibles and New Testaments a lot like this one here in the traffic lanes of life. Hotels, motels, doctors and attorneys' offices, abortion clinics, convalescent homes, and prisons. We distribute God's words to men and women of service, the four branches of the military, local police, firefighters, and emergency medical staff. Tor Torkelson arrived at a motel in Westchester County in New York to place Bibles. Tor is a Gideon, and he was sitting in his car waiting for his fellow brothers who were inside, making sure scripture placement arrangements were appropriate with the manager of the hotel. A young Spanish woman walked up to the car and noticed Tor and began speaking with him. He explained to her that they were there to place Bibles. He gave her a New Testament. He showed that inside of every New Testament where the help section was, and they began to ask her if she had ever trusted in Jesus for the salvation of her life and for the remission of her sins. They continued to talk. The lady asked Christ to forgive her, and she prayed to receive him. Then she said and told Tor to wait. She went inside the hotel, got nine other workers and brought them out to the car and said, "Tell them what you just told me." And he shared the gospel with all nine of them. And praise God, all nine of those men and women accepted Jesus Christ that day on that sidewalk. It is amazing to see what God will do with a willing hand of service and the placement of His Word as His Holy Spirit works. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And I hope that this next part hits your ears with fresh understanding this morning. That whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And why? Because God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through Him would be saved. Shortly after a Saturday afternoon, I stopped in at Harvey's Barbecue in Mount Joy, and after I paid for the order, I asked the young lady behind the counter if she could pull out her phone. I showed her the Gideon Bible app and to download, and that the same help section that was in here could now be on her phone, and she could go there for help in different aspects of daily living. We associate together for service. Gideons are business and professional men who enjoy serving and sharing the love of Christ with others. It's something we believe we are commanded to do. There is not a negotiation around this for us. We do our very best from move to faith in witnessing to our community and going around the world to share the love of Christ with unbelievers. Funds are provided to print scripture, and the Gideons and auxiliary are faithful to go and place those scriptures. A little New Testament like this costs about $1.25. A hotel Bible costs about $5. When you give to the Gideons, what you give goes to the printing and distribution of those Bibles. There are people who are employed by the Gideons in Nashville. People like myself are simply volunteers. And our association membership fees go to pay the folks down in Nashville so administratively this ministry can continue to run. I would like to ask three things of you this morning. One, as I asked before, would you join us in prayer? Join us in prayer that God would continue to open doors, especially in the schools in this country, so the youth today can hear about the love of God, because many of those youth will never set foot in a church like this one. Secondly, would you be willing to give this morning? You have your bulletin hand out here, and inside of your bulletin, you can place any kind of money or a check inside made out to the Gideons International, a gift of $5, purchases one of these Bibles. It said that a Bible inside of a hotel room over a five-year period has the opportunity to touch 2,600 different sets of eyes. When you place the Word of God, His Holy Spirit is faithful to draw people to Himself. They read, become convicted, and give their lives over to the Lord Jesus. And lastly, if the Lord's pricked your heart about this ministry this morning and you want to learn more, come ask me after the service. We always need folks at places like Millersville, Albright College, places in Reading, and other parts of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, to distribute God's Word. Pastor, thank you so much, and congregation, thank you for your time and attention this morning.
Thank you, Nick. So as we enter into the offertory period, I just wanted to, there's a story. The story goes, a man died and went to heaven. He was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, who led him down the golden streets. They passed stately mansion after beautiful home. I mean, just beautiful homes all down the boulevard, the golden street. Until they came to the end of the street, and St. Peter led this man to a kind of a rundown cabin. The man says, St. Peter, are we going to this hut? Why am I getting this hut when there's all these gorgeous, gorgeous mansions that he could live in? St. Peter replied, I did the best with the money you send us. So that being said, I'm just going to read the offertory statement from Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please accept these gifts and with them our lives to be used to your service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the ushers come forward and children may go to Children's Church. And we're going to sing a hymn. We're going to sing Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us.
Come now to a time of prayer, and in your bulletin you'll see insert where we need to lift up the many people in prayer this morning. I want to make a few updates on some folks this morning. God mentioned this in the beginning of the service. The flower here on the altar is in memory of Wendy Asper, who passed away, so we need to keep the family of Wendy Asper in prayer. Also, want to lift up Carl Wenger in prayer. Carl's in Good Samaritan Hospital in Lebanon right now, going through some tests, so keep him in prayer. And this week, we want to lift up Mary Ann Gibble. Mary Ann Gibble is having surgery on Tuesday for some back issues. So keep Mary Ann Gibble in prayer this morning. And in your bulletins this week, we always pray for a church in our district. And this week, we're praying for the Chickies Church of the Brethren. So we need to lift them in prayer. In our prayers this week. Let's come to our God in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have given us this time of worship. We thank you for this house of worship this morning, for the opportunity to come and worship you and have fellowship with each other. We thank you, Lord, for the presentation this morning of the Gideon ministry. We thank you for Brother Nick leading us this morning. We pray your blessings upon this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that the Gideons do. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct them and bless the ministry as they spread your word throughout our world. We thank you, Lord, for the church, the fellowship that we have in the church, for the opportunity that we have to minister to our brothers and sisters in need. We lift up, Lord, the many ones who are listed this morning in the prayer concern list. Many of these, Lord, are facing health issues, family issues, Lord God. And we just lift each one to you. You know them by name, Lord. You know what they're facing. We pray that you would increase their faith in you, to know, Lord, that you have an answer for the battle that they're facing. We pray this morning for Carl, who is in Good Sam Hospital for tests. We pray, Lord, that you would give him peace and strength and healing, to know, Lord, that you're with him through this time. We lift the family to you in prayer this morning. We lift up the family of Wendy Asper, who passed away. We pray that you would give that family comfort and strength in their time of loss this morning. We pray for Sister Mary Ann Gibble, who's having surgery on Tuesday. We pray, oh God, that you would give her strength as she faces surgery. We pray for the ones who are doing this procedure, that you would guide and direct their hands as they as they do surgery on Mary Ann. We thank you for our nation this morning, Lord God. We know that we live in a nation that needs prayer right now, and so we uplift our leaders. We uplift our president right now. Give him, Lord, strength for the office. We pray that all of our leaders, Lord, would turn to you and look to you for your guidance and direction each day. We thank you for Sister Laura being with us this morning. We thank you for the work that she has done in this congregation. We pray that you would anoint her lips, Lord, with your words. And we pray your blessings as she gives the report this morning. And now, Lord, we pray your blessings upon your holy word. As we look to your holy word, we pray for understanding that we might have a closer walk with you. And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to the scripture text this morning. We're looking at the prophet Amos. And the best way to find the minor prophet of Amos is to go in the middle of the Bible. You'll find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then you get into the minor prophets. And we're looking at Amos chapter 6, verses 1 I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. I know the bulletin has 1 and 4 to 7, but as I worked on this text, I think it's important for us to look at all the verses of Amos chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Amos 6, 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. Go over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then to go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. Join me in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. I give you, God, all praise, honor, and glory for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I've read this text from Amos, some of you might be thinking, well, what in the world is this prophet telling us? Well, in answering that question, I want you to think about this question. Do you know what it's like to be economically rich and religiously secure? Do you know what it's like to have all your needs met and to have a surplus in your bank account? If you're doing that, well, I guess you're doing pretty good. Yet, if you said yes to that, the prophet Amos has a word from the Lord from you this morning. But if you're poor, then you're off the hook, because Amos defends the poor, as we're going to see. Who was this prophet named Amos? Kind of an unknown prophet from the Bible. He's a minor prophet, but minor prophets does not mean that their message is minor. They still have an important message from the Lord. But how did God use Amos? Well, Amos was a country farmer and shepherd from Tekoa. Some would say that he is a rather unusual spokesman for God. He's not in the class, some would say, as Levi and others who are very holy and special in their relationship with God. Some believe Amos was kind of unusual because he was a country farmer. But Amos spoke out against injustice. He spoke out against greed and people who took advantage of the poor. And therefore, God used Amos in a very powerful way. And in today's lesson, who is Amos speaking to? Amos is speaking to the people and the nation of Israel. The people and the nation of Israel were doing good. At this time, when Amos was written, Israel was going through a period of national optimism. Business is booming. The boundaries of the nation were expanding and bulging. But at the same time, greed and injustice were festering with the people. And the optimism that they found in the economy was also found in their religion, in their faith in God. There was a false sense of security with the people, where the people had spiritual pride. They thought that they were standing pretty good with the Lord when they were not. The people were just going through the motions of their worship every Sunday, and they were just hypocritical in their worship and growing callous towards God. And so there's a message here in Amos for all of us this morning. This is not a message to pick on the rich or the ones who are secure. There's a message here for all of us. But first, I want to say a few words about prophecy in the Bible. One of the things we need to know about prophets in the Bible is that the people didn't receive their message well. Prophets in Bible times were oftentimes hated. And the reason that prophets were hated and their message was not received is because God spoke through the prophets in a word of judgment. A lot of times prophets receive God's word in judgment and even punishment. But yet God felt that the people of Amos needed to hear this judgment from the Lord. But specifically for Amos, the judgment of God was centered on the rich. The rich people who were oppressing the poor, and for the people who thought that they were privileged in their religion. The two did not go together. In other words, if you're someone who is oppressing the poor, taking advantage of the poor, and then you come to worship God on Sunday, God's going to see through that hypocrisy, and God will have judgment against that. So who does God specifically speak out against in this text? First, he speaks out against religious complacency. Look at verse 1. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. This is the person who's satisfied and smug in their religion. Specifically here, God is speaking to the notable leaders here from Israel. Israel was God's appointed nation. Zion was the religious Jewish center in all the earth at that time. People thought at that time, if you want to find God anywhere, go to Zion. And because of that, there is a sense of spiritual pride, which God was speaking out against. Now, there is a message here for all believers, including myself. As you think that you have everything you need, suddenly God becomes unimportant to you when all your needs are met, and you stop praying to Him. So where is your trust then? Where is your trust? Who are you placing your ultimate trust in? Let's look at verse 3. He continues here to speak to the religious leaders who are smug. He says, "Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall." Now, Amos here is talking about the second coming of the Lord. The people here, the leaders here, were so smug that they just ignored the day of the Lord. They didn't think the day of the Lord would come and bring judgment to them. And so God and Amos gave them a wake-up call. And one of the biggest challenges every believer faces is to be caught off guard, when it comes to the coming of our Lord. You know, we hear many times about the second coming of the Lord, and we might think, well, that's just something up there. Sometimes it's going to happen. It doesn't really pertain to me. But Amos calls this the day of doom because it will affect all people. The Bible tells us that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, we, as believers, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So it's easy to think that the day of Christ, the second coming, is some future event that will never happen. Or maybe you think it's just going to happen after I die, so
I don't have to think about Jesus coming. And when that happens, our minds just drift off in other areas. And this is why Jesus warns that the day of Christ will come as a thief in the night. Now, if you look at where it says in verse 3, beds of ivory, stretch out couches and eat lamb. I want to talk about that for a moment. Amos here is talking specifically to the rich. And these three things, the beds of ivory, the stretch out couches, and the lamb, these were things that all the rich people had at that time. These people were living in luxury each day, as if to say, let's eat, drink, and be merry. Well, I want us to look at these luxury items for a moment. The beds of ivory in Amos's day was a very expensive decoration made from the tusks of elephants, and the common people didn't have that. Stretch out on your couches. Now that is kind of like a lazy Sunday afternoon when you're just kind of tired and you just want to stretch out your couch. You don't have a care in the world. That's kind of how the rich people were living in Amos days. They stretched out their couches and just think everything's great. Nothing's going to happen. I'm good with God. And when they talk about eating lambs from the flock, a lamb was a very expensive meat that the common person did not eat at their tables. And so all these things were found in palaces of kings and in the homes of the very wealthy. To make things worse, these people's wealth was gained through the common people of Israel. Amos said, this is wrong. This is not what God wants. And these expensive items, they drew people's attention away from God. And we can identify with that because, let's be honest, expensive items are attractive, aren't they? What about diamonds? How many of you women think diamonds are expensive and attractive? What about new cars? What about, expensive perfume? A brand new big home in the suburbs with a jacuzzi. You know, these things draw people's attention away from God. But like everything we have, these things will eventually wear out and become old. And then what do we have in the end as believers? Amos continues in verse 5. Here he gets into the topic of worship. He says, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David. Now, this is interesting. Amos here is talking about music in the worship services. What does he say? Well, it sounds as though Amos is like some old fuddy-duddy who doesn't like musical instruments in worship. And here he has a bone to pick with David, because King David, as you know from the Bible, was very musical. I mean, David loved music in the Bible. He had tambourines and trumpets and cymbals. Amos says, well, this is just noise to my ears. But we should not get distracted away from what the Lord is saying with certain things when it comes to worship. A more important point Amos is making is that a worship to the Lord needs to be pure and sincere and not distractive. Because who is the one we're worshiping? We're worshiping our Lord God. Jesus tells us in John 4:24, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus says that God is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and truth. So what does Jesus mean about worship? I want to focus a little bit about what it means to worship God. William Barclay, a biblical commentator, says this, and I quote, if God is spirit, God therefore is not confined to things and places. And therefore, to limit the worship of God to Jerusalem or to any other spot is to set a limit to that which by its nature overpasses all limits. Barclay says the only gifts that befit the nature of God are the gifts of the Spirit, which are love, loyalty, obedience, and devotion, unquote. In other words, when we show our love in God and worship, love knows no limits. And we should not limit what God is able to do in worship. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to worship, include, as Barclay says, love, loyalty, obedience, and devotion. Let's look at those gifts for a moment that God gave us in our worship. Love. Love is probably the number one thing we do for God in worship. We show our love for God by worshiping Him. Love means for you to love God and to love each other. And that love must come from the heart, which God is seeking from you and me. And there is no limit to this love for God in our worship. It's the same kind of love that we have for our spouses or our children or family members. There should be no limit of our love for our spouses, for our children. We would do anything for them in love. We should have that same desire, more of it, that desire for our love for God and worship. It knows no limits. And then we have the qualities of loyalty, obedience, and devotion. These three words should describe our love for the Lord. We're loyal to our Lord, we're obedient to the Lord, and our devotion. And when I thought of these three words, my thought turned to Jesus. Love, loyalty, obedience, and devotion. Isn't that who Jesus is? Isn't that who Jesus was in our lives? Isn't that Jesus' love for us? What we do for God when we worship Him is nothing compared to what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when we worship God, we must focus on the cross. Because the Bible says the message of the cross is the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And I don't think we really can fathom the love that Jesus had on the cross for us. What Jesus did for us on the cross began with His rejection from the people. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, that He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, all of us know if we've been rejected by people, we know how hard that is to be rejected by people. But when someone is persecuted like Jesus was and despised by everyone, we just can't imagine what that rejection was like. And to be hung on the cross in front of people, to be ridiculed by people while being hung on a cross, many of them who were once His followers. But yet that did not stop Jesus for loving them and us. Next, we know that Jesus was wounded on the cross for our benefit. He was wounded for our sins, for all the times that we have failed, for all the times that we have broken just one commandment, which all of us have done. Jesus took on that one sin that we have committed against God. Jesus took that sin on Himself, and He said, I did that for you so that you would be right with God, so that we would be right, not be eternally lost. And finally, and this is special, Jesus died on the cross for our healing. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, by His stripes we are healed. If there's one need that all people have today, it is the need to be healed. People need healing. People need healing for many things. People are broken and wounded today. But Jesus says, you are healed by My stripes, by My wounds. And He wants you and I to look to the cross for our healing, because the cross is the power of God for all of our needs. And let's thank to God for the cross and for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for all of us, and we pray that we would look within ourselves and to see where we are broken and wounded. And God, may you just fill that with your love. And help us to take in the words that our Lord said. By my stripes you are healed. We thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all turn to our closing hymn, Near the Cross, number 191. After I read the benediction and we hear the postlude, I'll invite Laura to come forward. Benediction is taken from number 6, verses 24 through 26. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Good morning. Can you all hear me? Marty said, make sure I'm close to this. I'm not the loudest speaker around, so. Okay, Tim's giving me a thumbs up, so, okay. It is a joy to be here with you this morning and to worship our Lord and Savior together here at Myerstown, and it's lovely to be here. The ride from Elizabethtown was beautiful. The mountains here are so pretty. The land, the farm. I always thought Elizabethtown was pretty. I've only lived in Pennsylvania for 3 years, going on four, but Myerstown, this area is gorgeous. So you all are so blessed to have this place. I wanted to share with you a little bit of what I've been doing. Some of you may or may not know that at the direction of your board leaders and the call of the district, Pete Contra, I was asked to come into Myerstown and to help work through some of the conflicts that you all have been experiencing for a while. And so, starting in April, I came in and I started interviewing a number of people, individuals, couples, groups, sat with people, listened to their stories, listened to their perspective on what they thought or felt was some of the conflicts going on here. And I want to say that for a church in a lot of conflict, every single person that I met with has been wonderful. I've come here for the past 6 months, and everybody has just been wonderful. Everybody's been open and forthright. Everybody has been just accepting of me. And I want to say, in my experience of doing this type of work, which I did a lot of this work when I lived in Ohio, and just my mere presence in a church that's highly conflicted would cause people to be upset with me. I understand human nature as a clinical therapist, so I could better understand where they were coming from. But I have not experienced that here at all at Myerstown. Everybody has been wonderful. So I just want to let you, the congregation, know, you that I have not spoken to at all, one-on-one or in a group or anything, I want you to know that you do have a church with wonderful people, lovely people, loving and caring people, even though you're going through conflicts. So what did I find out? Well, there is some deep conflict here, and it goes back a ways. I was able and had the opportunity to sit down with those that were in conflict and allow them the opportunity to talk, to listen, to hear one another, to express their feelings, to ask questions of one another, to glean some insight as to what some of the conflicts, what they were in disagreement about. And you know, I have to say that conflict is about differences. It's about one another having differences. But when the conflict becomes a deep problem, it's when we're not able to take those differences and accept one another through it. It's gone very deep here at Myerstown. And after going through all the meetings with people, those involved in the conflict, and allowing them the opportunity to sit with one another, it was good for them to sit together across from each other. I was hopeful for more. I think it can still happen. When I say I was hopeful for more, I mean I was hopeful for more of an acceptance of one another, a love, a deeper love of one another, and forgiveness. That's a big one, forgiveness of one another. And it can still happen. So where are we presently? Presently, I, with the help of your pastor and with Church Board Chair Janet, they've both been great. They've worked really hard at getting me in here and getting me into the right, meeting the right people. But with their help, I'm in the process of forming what I call process groups. And a process group will learn more about conflict. Will teach more about how conflict can be constructive and not destructive. We'll learn about differences. We'll learn about communication skills. It's been my experience being here at Myerstown and listening and observing that communication is not optimal. It is not as good as it could be. We will learn about being empathic to one another, putting one another above the other and loving and forgiving. They're just basic skills, but you know, we don't all come from homes that have taught us how to be empathic, how to communicate, how to really love one another unconditionally. I know that's not how I was raised. So I understand a lot of where the conflict is coming from. You know, and I agree so wholeheartedly with Pastor Marty when he said, we all need to be healed. In his message this morning, he stated that, and it's true. We all need to be healed. We all come from a background of some kind where we need to be healed. And when we are in a larger body, in the larger church setting, we bring all our stuff, unbeknownst to us and others many times, but we bring all our stuff and we just kind of let it all out. And it's not always in a healthy way. And that's the issue here at Myerstown. I would like to share with you a passage from Isaiah 43:1-2. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. This passage speaks so clearly that many times God's method of deliverance is not about bringing us out of our problems or our conflicts or our issues. Many times it's about him bringing us through it and experiencing his presence as he carries us through it. I encouraged the board leadership to form prayer groups in the church just to pray for the church. You are at a vital place. If you haven't heard too much of the conflicts, I don't want to get into it. That's not what I'm here for. But you must sense something. You must recognize that there have been a lot of people that have left. Allow God to carry you through this time. Look to him. Seek his direction. Seek his guidance. He has something for Myerstown Church of the Brethren. You're a wonderful group of people. You have a beautiful facility. And God wants to use you. He has used you in the past. I've heard it. Spend time in his presence. Love one another. Scripture calls us to love one another. How does that loving one another look? When we love one another, we are able to forgive each other with God's help. this report wasn't so much the report that I gave to your board and your pastor. This is more of a redacted report. I didn't want to come here on a Sunday and be a downer. It was a beautiful service. But I wanted to give you an idea of what I've seen and what I've heard and what I sense. And you are on a journey towards healing if you allow God to do that here. So I just want to ask if anybody has any questions for me that I might be able to answer for you. I will be here a little bit after the service here, and if you have any questions you want to ask me in private, I'd be happy to help. So I'll just ask one more time. Any questions? No. Okay, let me close us in prayer, okay, so you can all leave. Father God, thank you so much for this congregation. Thank you for each and every person here. Father, ask that you would make your presence known in this church, that each person would feel your presence in a deep and profound way, Lord. Shower them with